Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Knezovic smack talk game is strong. Strong.
Okay, Keith.
We'll see.
Thanks.
Put a lot of confidence in her cats coming up this weekend.
By the way, the line on the cats.
Jeez. By the way, the line on the FanDuel Sportsbook still plus a half a point for Tennessee. So basically a pick 'em.
Well, that was Kentucky, and then we saw what happened in with Mississippi State. We were favored half a point, and then we lost by 30.
You're still favored by half a point.
So you're talking.
I thought you said Tennessee was favored by half a point.
Nope. Oh. Tennessee plus half a point, but.
Oh.
By the way, it's interesting that you just brought up what happened against Mississippi State.
Mississippi State is good. I feel like we haven't talked about them enough.
No, they are. They're pretty good. But I thought Kentucky was better than this.
Yeah, we lost our mojo with the bye week, Joe. How do you like that one?
Dang. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be part of society's erosion. Don't do it.
Okay. Joe, it's time for some second half predictions of the season for the Tennessee Titans, which, by the way, much more difficult to identify the second half of the season this year with the 17th schedule. So you've determined the second half of the season officially starts after halftime of the game Sunday night.
Right. So, so none of this can apply to the first half.
Okay.
That's still part of the first half of the season.
Okay.
So everything starting with the second half, Sunday and beyond.
Have you come to full acceptance yet of the 17-game NFL season, or does it still really bother you?
Well, I mean, it's just a constant.
So it still bothers you?
Yeah, I mean, it's like an ingrown toenail, you know? I mean, you have to move on with your life sometimes, you know, but it's going to bother you.
Yeah, I like that. So, Joe Rex Road, without further ado, would you like to start with your second half predictions?
Yeah, so I came up with six for The Athletic,
okay,
which is like a mid-season thing that we're doing on the various teams. So I thought this would be – I'd like to hear yours. But I can tell you some of mine. And, well, we've already talked about Byard, who's on his way to getting honored. But one of mine is about – this passing offense. And yes, I'm going here again, okay?
Oh boy.
Anthony Firkser is going to be a big key part of this offense.
What does that mean?
Well, it means more than he's done. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to all of a sudden start having a bunch of like 8 catch for 80 yards and 2 touchdown games, but he's going to do a lot more than he has done.
You will actually notice that he's on the field. Be a good start.
Exactly. You'll notice he's on the field. I mean, I think we've talked about the knee injury, of course. You know, I do think some of it is just predictability. I mean, it's just the thing with Swaim is, you know, Swaim had 3 of the 5 catches on that drive. Well, Swaim is a blocking tight end, you know. So, and with Jonnu Smith, previously, Jonnu Smith was good enough in all aspects that you could be unpredictable. Firkser, there's a predictability factor with Firkser,
yep,
that I think makes it difficult. But he's still a guy who, and you know, right now Chester Rogers is coming back, but he's not all the way healthy. I just think that there's some moments ahead with him lined up in the slot where you're going to see some big completions from Tannehill or Firkser. So I don't have a number on it, but that's one of mine.
Okay, I like that. So Anthony Firkser, a bigger part of the offense. Your second prediction for the Titans.
Landry is going to come up just short of the franchise record for sacks.
Really?
Right now he's at 8.5. The record is William Fuller, 1991, for, of course, the Oilers,
yep,
with 15. Now the freak as a rookie in that incredible year, which just that season was honestly a team-changing season.
I mean,
a really good, you know, good teams, 500-ish teams to a Super Bowl team when you have just one guy who can do that. And I don't think Landry has been that, Like, it just, it felt to me like Javon Kearse was more, you know, that year more impactful than what Landry's, but Landry's been awfully good. I think he gets close to 15. I think he gets, you know, in the 12-ish range, which would still be very good. It would be a little bit lighter second half than he's pacing he's on, but still, that's a heck of a season. And it's still going to get him a big payday somewhere.
Maybe here?
Maybe, but I mean,
a lot of money with two guys.
You're going to plow like 36 mil into your two outside linebackers?
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. But he's on his way to that, and I think he's just going to miss the record.
Okay. Your third prediction for the Titans.
4 games. 4 games to play, the AFC South will be clinched.
With four games left. Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. You calling a Jets win tonight?
I'm not. I'm calling the Jets losing to the Bills and Bucks.
Okay. The Colts losing to the Bills and Bucks.
Who'd I just say?
The Jets.
Oh, I'm sorry. Got the J-E-T-S on the mind. If that happens, the Colts are going to be 5-7 after 12 games.
Yep.
So, obviously, there's 17 games. The next week, I think they're going to win, but the next week, you know, put them at 6-7, okay? The Titans, if I went through the schedule, I've got them losing Sunday, okay? Spoiler alert. But then they get New Orleans, which is just torn up with their own injuries. They get the Texans. They go to New England. I'm saying right now that they find a way. I mean, I think they win the first two of those, and they find a way in New England, and they're 9-3, which means all they have to do in week 13 of the games,
yep.
I guess 14, is beat Jacksonville at home to clinch the division. That's December 12th.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, look, the Colts could possibly make it interesting and beat one of those two teams. The Titans certainly – the Titans could lose to New Orleans. They could certainly lose on the trip to New England. I don't know exactly how things are going to look from here. But I think they still
have. Is Teron Taylor coming back at any point? Or is this going to be the Davis Mills show in Houston?
That's a good question. That makes a big difference.
Well, it makes a huge difference.
They actually might be somewhat not the Bad News Bears if they had Taylor at quarterback. But right now, they're the Bad News Bears. I don't know. But, yeah, think about that. You'd have four. Now, it's not the problem, but the thing is, then you could be in rest mode, right? Unless if you are that, so then what you would be is you'd be 10-3 after beating the Jags.
You're still going for the one.
Absolutely in there for the one. You tie the Bills, and you are the one. So that's where it could be really interesting. Now, none of this could happen, and they could end up, like, in a total dogfight for the division. Who knows? But if that plays out that way, how much priority do you put into the one if you're the Titans? Because the rest of the way is going to Pittsburgh, which I think is the toughest game on the schedule after Sunday. And, you know, you get the Dolphins and Niners. You get the Texans at the end. A lot of opportunity. And all that stuff. I think the Niners still could be very much playing for something. I'm not convinced they're going to be out of the wild card race. They got to get it going here and get healthier.
Yep.
But you could be in a position of a lot of rest down the stretch, or only fighting for the one. I don't think you're going to be at the very end fighting for the AFC South. I think you're going to have it locked.
Ben texting in says the Texans and the Jags win more games combined than the Colts in the second half of the season. What do you think of that?
Now, there's a shot. That would be – I mean, that's the thing. The Colts, you know, it's this season has been very disappointing and all that stuff. They've had some brutal losses and, you know, they've had injuries. But, like, if they bottom out, what does that mean? What does that mean for the whole thing they have going on there and Wentz and everything?
Yeah.
I don't buy it, though. I mean, I don't think they will. But it's really important long-term that they don't do what you just said they'll do.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get to more second-half predictions coming up next. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737 1025. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The new deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Flawless. Hawaii. All right, that's good. It's hard to trace, I guess.
Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogle? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Ah, nice. Yes. What a film. Joe Rexroad's new nickname for Aaron Rodgers. McLovin out there.
Again, I mean, I have to give total credit to Josiah Johnson. Probably. Is Josiah Johnson the best follow on Twitter? At KingJosiah54.
I mean, other than at Joe Rexroad, yeah.
Yeah. I would say Super 70 Sports and Josiah Johnson, probably the best two follows on Twitter.
Okay.
So, yeah, Josiah Johnson had to immediately, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers showing his vaccination card to the NFL, and he had the picture of McLovin showing his ID in the beer store.
Oh, that Aaron Rodgers stuff is everywhere. That's going to be fun to listen to.
Are you vaccinated? Yes, I'm immunized. Okay.
Right. Right now, going through second half of the season predictions for the Titans. I'll start with mine, and it's a similar one to yours, although I have a different take on it. Harold Landry, he will finish with at least 17 sacks.
Whoa.
I mean, he's at 8.5 right now. He will finish with 17 sacks or more. You got the Texans coming up twice. You got the Jags coming up again. He had 2 sacks against the Jags last time. I think he finishes with 17 or more.
That'd be a number.
Then what in the world do you do?
Then what's his payday? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going 17 or more for Harold Landry. Look, he's playing well. He could actually, it's crazy to say this because he's got 8.5 through 8 games. He could have more sacks this year. He really could. Like the way he's been putting pressure on the quarterback, he could have more sacks.
At first, I thought you were saying, like, he could have another sack this year, I think. I'm like, wow, way to be bold there.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, saying he
could get to 9.5?
Yeah.
I think so.
At this point right now, he could have more. That's true. Well, that's the, you know, like last year, when as we marveled at how he played every snap and played hard, it was like, I mean, he's close, but you got to finish. Well, now he's finishing.
He is finishing 8.5 sacks through 8 games so far.
17 would be a number, man.
17 would be a number. I think he gets there.
Here's the thing. If my
he's
prediction,
only 8.5 away.
I know. But if my prediction's right, there's a guy that to me, you say, hey, Derek Roberson, how about let's have a little bit more work for Derek and some of these other guys, but we'll see.
I say the Titans finished the season 11-6. 11-6, the final record for the Titans.
Okay. Which is a 5-4 quote unquote second half.
Yes.
5-4 finish to the season from here.
Yes.
Okay.
Say 11-6, which comfortably wins the AFC South.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to be in the running for the one seed. I guess this game would count coming up against that record. So, yeah, 11-6, the record.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like to you they might go 12-5.
That's my pick. So
that was your pick before the season.
It was.
So you're sticking with it.
I am. I mean, look,
I said 13-4. I'm not doing that anymore.
I mean, they just won at Indy. They just beat Buffalo.
I know.
I know the Kansas City win doesn't look the same, but I mean, yeah, the fact they put themselves in this position, I got them going 6-3 the rest of the way.
Okay. Look, I'm not saying that that's unrealistic. I think that's absolutely on the table. How amazing would it be if, with Derrick Henry out, they're still in contention for the one seed when you get down to the final 2 weeks of the season?
It would be amazing. And, you know, it would, of course. You immediately brought it up the other day. Like, if that happens, then there'd be a lot of people saying, so then how could you say he's the MVP? Which I understand.
Sure.
I mean, to me, a Derrick Henry MVP season is remarkable achievement that you can't ignore in tandem with just no one on the quarterback front being all that great. That was the only way he was going to win it anyway. But he is that. I mean, he's incredibly valuable to this team. He's still, to me, and this is the problem with a running back winning MVP, or any other position winning an MVP, is that I'd still, if I had to, my life depended on taking the Titans to the playoffs, and I have to choose, I'm going with the starting quarterback and not the starting running back. I mean, it's just, that's the game.
Yeah. It, so FanDuel Sportsbook just came out with their top five odds, their favorites to win the Super Bowl. Without looking at it, if you had to guess their top five favorites right now to win the Super Bowl, who would it be? Remember, the Titans are the one seed right now in the AFC.
I think Bucks and Packers and Rams are in there. I think Bills are in there. Am I right so far?
You're right.
I'm 4 for 4. The fifth is interesting. I would guess Cardinals.
Incorrect.
Who's the fifth?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, okay.
At number one, the Buffalo Bills at +500.
Well, so I could be wrong, Michelle, with the thumbs down in there. I could be wrong, but I mean, I think that the Bills odds probably are impacted by the fact that the current one seed just lost their best player, right?
I would say so. I mean, the path in the AFC is like, even for Tampa Bay, which I still believe deep down, Tampa Bay is the best team in the NFC. And look, I've just seen Tom Brady do this so many times now that I'll be surprised when he doesn't. So once the playoffs come around, like Tampa Bay to me is probably going to be my favorite to win the NFC. But just think about their path. Like at some point, you're going to have to get through either the Packers, the Rams, the Cowboys, or the Cardinals. And that's a heck of a path right there that you've got to get through. So the path of the Bills certainly just got a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs look like a team that's been fighting to get in the playoffs. The Titans just lost their best player. The Ravens just got blown out by the Bengals and lost all their running backs. The Bengals, who blew out the Ravens, just got beat by freaking Mike White and the Jets.
Put some respect on his name.
Hey, I'm all about the Western Kentucky alums in the NFL. But, yeah, it's incredibly different how one side looks. Because now that you add Derrick Henry's injury, how much different the AFC looks than the NFC.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. All right, my final prediction for the second half of the season for the Titans. Julio Jones, by season's end, will be completely healthy and will average in his last three games 85 yards per game with the Titans.
Okay.
He will be completely healthy, and by the time the season comes around, he's rounding into form, which I think is a pretty big shot.
That's a shot. That's calling a shot. In fact, that's, I think, the opposite. But we'll see.
Okay. Well, yeah. There you go. Julio Jones is just going to be no factor.
Well, I think it's just going to be this fits and starts again. Yeah. And here he is out there. So we'll see Sunday night. I think we're going to see him active. We'll see if he can finish a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't finished a game. Correct me if I'm wrong. He hasn't played an entire game since Seattle. Right?
Yeah.
So, forgive me for being skeptical.
Oh, there's plenty of reason to be skeptical.
That would be very helpful for this team if he gets 250 yards in the last three games of the season.
Yeah. Tyler from Berry Hill.
If they need them.
Well, yeah, there is that too. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. There's been only one team to make it to the Super Bowl without having a first-round bye since 2012, I believe. So if you think you have a chance at the one, you have got to go for it. Well, I can promise you this. If the Titans have a chance for the one, Rabel's going for it.
Well, especially with the Derrick Henry angle, which, again, no one knows. You know, no one knows how that's going to go. Check back when the x-rays and everything and tests are available in a few weeks, but if you could take a whole week and get everybody healthier, but also possibly increase the chances of him having some kind of a role, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're all over that.
Look, I mean, getting the one seed is the equivalent to winning a playoff game. Like, it's, you don't have to play a playoff game is essentially what happened. So
it's a bye.
Yeah, they're going for it.
It's literally a bye.
Yes, it is.
Is it, Joe?
Oh, it is. In the literal sense, a bye. In the correct, accurate sense, a bye. Yes, it would be very important.
Now, Tampa Bay did just roll right through the playoffs last year without one. So it's not like it can't be done, but
Yeah. Now, that was Tyler?
Yeah.
Said one since 12 has not had a bye? Really?
I have to think about that.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Well, I can think about the Super Bowl matchup 2 years ago. The Niners in Kansas City, they both definitely had a bye. But you're also, it's a different situation now because only one team in each conference is getting one.
Exactly.
So, it's even, a little bit, that's going to happen a little bit more often.
Yeah, for sure. Right. I mean, your Packers, the one ring that McLovin won, was that team had to, right? That team did not have a bye.
No.
In fact, that was the team that they won at Arizona that year. I get them all mixed up.
That was the NFC, I think it was Chicago game that year, wasn't it? I can't remember. I have to go back and look.
Come on. This is.
I don't know. They've been in the playoffs and played these games so many times, it's hard to keep it straight.
Yes, that's right.
Too much success.
Yeah, exactly.
They went 15-1 the next year. Got to buy that year. Didn't work out.
Who'd they lose to that year?
I think it was the Giants.
Oh, the fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Tough call. Tough break, McLovin.
So are you you going to turn into a big Aaron Rodgers hater now? Just every week, just going to dig me?
I mean, I've always kind of thought he was arrogant, but a great player.
Yeah.
I've always liked him more than Favre.
It just doesn't make any sense.
It's so dumb, you know? I'm very interested to see how he addresses this. I hope he actually has some humility and just says, you know what, that was stupid. But I have my doubts that he will.
Yeah, I've got my doubts that he will, too.
I think he's going to turn around on everybody else and say, well, this is none of your business, and I just answered how I wanted to answer it. And I think that's super lame, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. See what happens the next time Aaron Rodgers is made available to the media, which is probably next week. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Get his thoughts so far on the Preds and their road trip. And look ahead to the Preds coming up tomorrow night against Vancouver as well. All that ahead. The halfway point of the NFL season is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play, and that's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. Thursday night, a great opportunity to give it a try. All you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Jets and the Colts in action tonight. You know, I could sit here and talk about my love for Mike White, which I do have for Mike White. What a performance last week against the Bengals, but I got pretty good confidence Carson Wentz and the Colts respond this week. Give me Jonathan Taylor on the under in rushing yards. Give me Carson Wentz over on passing yards and Colts on the money line. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. You get your winnings in as little as 2 hours. It's America's number one sportsbook. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on either team to win during the Sunday afternoon matchup between Green Bay and Kansas City. Win $150 on a $5 bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And we have got some tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on New York at Nissan Stadium coming up this Sunday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on New York at Nissan Stadium coming up this Sunday. So hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we were scheduled to be joined by Hal Gill. They got into Vancouver very late last night, so we're going to punt on Hal Gill and let the man sleep.
Chuck that bag, baby.
That's right.
That's fine, but that bag better have been chucked, Hal.
That's right. Especially in Vancouver, man.
McLovin would have chucked his bag.
That's right. Yeah.
What is Chase? Chase has got different Braves gear on.
Has his World Series champs gear arrived yet?
The new fall line of Chase McCabe Braves clothing, looking very, very sharp.
That's right. So a loss last night for the Preds. They fall 5-2 to the Edmonton Oilers. So beginning 1-1 on this road trip. You know, you think back to the game on Tuesday night. Really, not a game they should have won. UC Saros was awesome in that game. They end up winning in overtime on a goal by Matt Duchene, who I believe after the game called it one of the top five most tired moments in his entire career when he scores the game-winning goal in overtime. They lose last night to Edmonton, which, by the way, Edmonton off to a pretty awesome start this year. They're 8-1 right now. So Edmonton has been a tough out so far this year. Leon Draisaitl, 10 goals in his last four games against the Nashville Predators. Turns out that combo of McDavid and Draisaitl is pretty good, and the Predators had some difficulty with that last night.
Yeah, but they've, like, you know, the McDavid numbers against them are human. The Draisaitl numbers are not.
I say that, like, McDavid does have, like, 20 points in 14 or 15 games against the Predators.
Yeah, it's
but
fine.
Only five goals. Only five.
Yeah, that's okay. So you can live with that. You can't live with what Draisaitl does to you.
No. 10 goals in the last four games against the Predators is insane.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, you know, the players have talked about is it feels pretty awesome to play against somebody other than the Carolina Hurricanes, which is basically what they did for the last half of last year into the playoffs. I bet they don't mind not seeing Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid all that much. Those two are pretty lethal.
They're like, actually, yeah, can we go back to, you know, playing the same six teams all the time?
Yeah,
no,
I mean, but I will say
better. This is way better for all people involved.
Yes, way, way better. I will say, yet again, you look at who scores the goals for the Predators last night. Matt Duchene, the first one for the Predators. Ryan Johansson for the second one for the Predators. So those two guys continue to be productive offensively. That's a good sign as they continue to move forward. Now, you know, people were talking about that on Twitter yesterday. And last night after the game, and there was a response of, well, okay, they're 5-5, and those two guys have been productive. What does that really mean? They're going to have to get better in terms of the secondary scoring around those guys for sure, but imagine where they'd be right now if those guys weren't scoring.
Right. What it means to me is this team's path to being, you know, 500 or better and having a chance to get in the playoffs and do anything hinges largely, not fully, but largely on those guys continuing this pace. And the team is built in a way by necessity, by the numbers that dictates that they have to produce. So good for them that they are. We'll see if it can continue, but I'd say it's really encouraging from that front. And they have the team overall still has playing better now than they did at the very beginning of the season. So that's my sunshiny take on it.
No Philip Forsberg last night for the Predators.
That's the downer.
That is the downer, and it came out before the game. We talked about it yesterday on the show. He's had a collision with one of his teammates at the blue line, 4-on-4 situation. Left after that shift and did not return on Tuesday night against Calgary. He did not play last night. The Predators announcing before the game that Philip Forsberg is week-to-week with an upper body injury. You know, week-to-week doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be out for a month or anything like that, but certainly not something that you want to hear if you're a Predators fan.
Well, this is costly to him when you talk about the – because to me that's the biggest question about him now. At his age, he's been in the league for a long time. He's still young, but he's a lot of tread off the tires. He's been in this league taking punishment for a long time, and it's pretty consistent now that he is going to have some kind of significant injury that is week to week as opposed to day to day. And so when people are always saying, well, can he be a 40 goal scorer? Well, no, because he can't play 82 games anymore in a full season. And that has, I think, has got to cost him in terms of what he's looking for this next contract.
I mean, I would think so too. And we'll see how long he's out. I mean, if you're out, you know, 3, 4, 5 games and that's it, it's really not the world's biggest deal at the end of the day. But I mean, here we're barely in November. We're talking about Philip Forsberg being hurt. Like, even if he comes back and it's relatively short term, like, how much confidence do you have that Philip Forsberg is getting through the rest of the season without some other issue cropping up? I don't have a ton. So, I mean, that's also, we talked about how this season could be really beneficial for him in terms of, if you go through this and you stay healthy and you have a big year and you score 30 goals or you score 35 goals, you know, that could be a big deal for you in terms of your negotiations. It's still on the table for him, but also, like, if you go through this season and it doesn't go well and you're hurt, what's that going to do to your contract? Because it's pretty easy to look at the numbers and say, all right, you've had 21 goals 2 years ago, 12 last year in a shortened season, and so far four this year. You're going back until 2016-17 is the last time he played 82 games. I mean, that's in the distant mirror at this point. So not a great start for Philip Forsberg on that front. You don't want to see him hurt.
Yeah, and of course, just take it to this season.
Sure.
And apart from all that, I mean, this team can't afford to not have him either.
No.
I mean, there's just Duchesne and Johansson producing. You need guys like Tolvanen going. I mean, you know, you need to get some guys going, but Forsberg out of the lineup really makes it a much less dangerous team.
Also going to be interesting as David Rittich becomes healthier and available. What are they going to do with the backup goalie situation? Connor Ingram was in there last night. I mean, you look at the box score, he gave up five. He also made a couple of really good saves in that game where it could have been worse. And, you know, you're playing McDavid and Draisaitl. Like the first goal that Draisaitl scored last night in the shot, he had about a half a centimeter of room and he put it in there. I mean, it's just what he does. He's Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. So it's hard to hold that against your goaltender, but I am interested with the way that he's played and how they've talked up Connor Ingram so far. As you get through the season here, what do you do at your backup goaltender? You brought David Rittich in to be your backup. Connor Ingram's been okay so far.
And you probably want to see, you know, you want to see both of them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to, Riddick's got to have a chance, I would think, right? Like, has Connor Ingram and those two starts done so much that you're like, you know what? We've seen enough. You're the guy. I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
So it's kind of a little bit of a little open in-season tryout for goalie two.
Yeah. Hey.
But it's good. It's good to have that. It's good to have that competition, and it's great to see Ingram back. And I think you've seen enough in two games to see why people have been excited about it.
Well, let's be honest here. The reason that they brought in David Rittich in the first place to be the backup goaltender didn't really have much to do with Ingram on the ice. You just didn't know because he was unavailable last year. So, look, I think the Predators have been excited about what he can do on the ice for a long time. You know, I was interested to see, you know, could he make a push for an NHL spot? But it made all the sense in the world to bring in Rittich just based on the way last season went for Ingram. If Ingram's figured everything out and he's gotten better off the ice, and, you know, you mentioned the great article that Vingan came out with yesterday about his journey off the ice and with obsessive compulsive disorder and how he's had to navigate through that. If he's in a good spot right now, I certainly think he's talented enough to be an NHL goalie right now.
Yeah. Just,
can you keep that going with him right now?
So had none of this happened, it may have been worked out perfectly right now. There'd be no question he'd be the backup.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going to be interesting to keep an eye on that. It's pretty obvious at this point also, UC Saros is going to play a lot of games this year. We're talking, what are they, they're 10 games in, and he's played in all of them but two, and the two have been on second half back-to-backs.
Just look for those back-to-backs. And that's about, you know, that's pretty much your only opportunity for goalie two this year.
He's going to be playing in a lot of games coming up. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ken texting in with an early called shot. Adrian Peterson, 22 carries for $120 and two touchdowns versus the Rams. What do you think about that?
Wait, say that again?
Adrian Peterson, 22 carries, 120 yards, two touchdowns. against the Rams.
Yeah, it's a shot.
I'd say so.
That's a shot. It's not impossible, but I mean, I'd be surprised. Like, if Adrian Peterson gets more than, like, 12 to 14 carries, that'd be a good night. That would bode well for them if they even can get one of their backs that many carries in this game.
Heidi from Dixon texting in. Second half of the season, all teams currently winning their division will stay in first, except for the Raiders, who will finish with 7 wins. This is coming from Heidi and Dixon.
Jeez. We haven't really heard from you much lately, Heidi, but I didn't know you were such a Raider hater.
Well, they are without their head coach. Now they're without their wide receiver.
Yeah. Well, the Ruggs, it feels bad to even think about. Like, what's in the football terms, effect of the Ruggs loss? You know, I mean, it's just such an awful story.
They are at 5-2.
But that's a lot for a team, too.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, you look at the divisions right now, especially in the NFC, like the NFC in pretty good shape. Like, Dallas is going to win the East. Green Bay is going to win the North. Tampa Bay is going to win the South, especially now that Jameis is hurt. We'll say the Arizona-LA race is going to be fun in the West. Maybe the Titans have something to say about it this weekend. And the Rams at second loss could be a big deal.
The Cards would love to see the Titans help them out. And that's a rematch coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
In Arizona. But I could buy that the other that everybody in first right now would hold it. So are we thinking Chargers or Chiefs, Heidi?
That's the question. I mean, the Chargers, they looked great to begin the year. The last couple times they played, not so good from the Chargers.
Yeah. New England took it to them.
Yeah.
I mean, the AFC has just become this. I mean, I could buy New England making a little run. I could buy the Steelers. There's two teams the Titans play on the road. And everybody who at some point has looked like, okay, this could be the team, has looked pretty bad at various times. And you know, the Titans have figured things out. Now they lose their best player.
It's a bit of a weird year in the AFC. Lance texting in, the Titans have gone from unpredictable to unpredictable, with a little emoji that has the sunglasses over his face. I didn't hear a whole lot about the Titans being unpredictable before. Sometimes we've heard about the Titans being too predictable. I've even seen some Titans fans make the stretch this week that now with Derrick Henry out, it could end up helping the offense because you become a little bit more unpredictable without having him to just turn around and hand the ball off to.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Net positive without Derrick Henry in there.
Yeah. Well, we get Todd Downing in about an hour. So
you can ask him that question. So, Todd, could it be better to not have your best player in there?
How big is this relief, Todd, that you can be less predictable now without by far the best running back in the NFL? Pretty awesome, huh?
Oh, man. Brian in Portland texting in, because I'm slightly more realistic than most Titans fans, AP will have 8 carries for 41 yards. McNichols will have 12 for 68 and a touchdown, and Foreman will have only 2 for 5 yards and a touchdown.
Those are interesting numbers, and I think the distribution, I could see that. I could see in the first game here McNichols having a little bit bigger running game role than he will eventually if things work out as they hope with Peterson in particular.
We think about 68 yards on 12 carries.
I was just going to say the
that's 5.6 a carry, man.
If McNichols gets those numbers, then maybe I'll be wrong because maybe they will start giving him the ball more as a, you know, in the run game. But I think the distribution of carries, I could buy that.
Maybe there's a mute for me. Maybe we have underestimated Nick Weapon so far in this. I mean, look, both of us didn't even have him making the team.
I know.
So shows what we know.
I had Mekhi Sargent making the team. And he's now cut, and McNichols is their number one running back. So there you go. More good predicting for me. But no, you got to be impressed with McWeapon. And there's a nickname, by the way. Who on this team has
McWeapon?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Hopefully we can get a Super Bowl with McWeapon against McLovin.
Yes.
Back out in L.A.
Hey, that was my prediction before the season.
God, that's right.
Packers Titans.
It's still on the table.
Which I want to point out, we're halfway through the season. Number one seed in the NFC, Packers. Number one seed in the AFC, Titans. Just want to point that out.
Of course, the best player on one is out, and the best player on the other is a big liar who's a big...
There you go.
Never mind. McLovin.
He's really upset you, hasn't
he? He's a big McLovin.
It's just ridiculous. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. This is a tough spot.
Yes, I'm immunized.
This is a tough spot for me because I love him so much, and yet he's done something so stupid.
Aaron, did you get an A on the test? Yes, I got a letter grade on the test. Yes. Hey, everybody. Aaron got an A on the test. Let's tell the whole family. Aaron sits there quietly, doesn't tell anyone that he just lied.
Then mom asks to hang it on the fridge.
Yeah, hang it on the fridge. And what did he do? Did he, like, white out the actual C that he got?
C-minus. He shows his McLovin.
Caleb texting in, the Titans will finish 12-5 with Tannehill throwing for 275-plus in every game remaining. What do you think about that? Tannehill with 275 or more in every game that's left. That's a big number.
That's a big number, and I think 12-5, I'm with you on that. I would say that, honestly, I think in some of the games, he won't have to do that. I mean, they do play some terrible teams coming up. Now, they still have to have enough of a running game for that to not be necessary, I guess, even in those games. That's not the craziest prediction in the world. I have a suspicion he'll be under 275 in a couple of them. But I think his average per game is certainly going to go up.
I just don't have a ton of confidence that Adrian Peterson is going to come in and be all that effective. I just don't. I mean, I could be wrong, but it's difficult for me to believe a 36-year-old who apparently nobody else wanted is just going to all of a sudden come in and halfway through a season be this revelation for the Titans back there. Again, could be wrong. He's one of the greatest running backs of all time. He's had a great career. So obviously we know he knows what he's doing back there, but just father time. I just don't see Adrian Peterson coming in and having a huge impact with this team.
Yeah, I'm more on your side of it. I think, obviously, the hope is just that you don't have a ton of season left, and he's had a lot of time away from contact. If he's in great shape, I don't know, yesterday he was running around stretching, seemed to be in, you know, in good shape. If he's really motivated by this opportunity with a contender, maybe he just kind of, you know, he just takes it back old school for a while and you ride the wave. But yeah, I watched him last year and he was okay.
He's all right.
He's a serviceable back now. He's a Hall of Famer who now is going to get past 15,000 career yards. He's fifth all time. He's incredible talent in the history of the league. He is now a serviceable running back.
Which, there's not, he's 36. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. I mean, if
it's kind of amazing he's still playing at 36.
No, absolutely. If you can get some, you know, some 40, 50-yard weeks from him and, you know, some first-down runs, and here and there you pop a little bit of an explosive run or half-explosive run, then you'll take it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't – like, people calling for 20 for 122. So, I mean, I'd
pump those bricks.
Yeah, pump them.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow to look ahead at the Titans and the Rams in a big weekend in Nashville sports. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.